chapter 1 of the Holy Scripture, section 6. The whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for His own glory, man's salvation, faith, and life, is either expressly set down in Scripture, or by good and necessary consequence may be deduced from Scripture, unto which nothing at any time is to be added, whether by new revelations of the Spirit or traditions of men. Nevertheless, we acknowledge the inward illumination of the Spirit of God to be necessary for the saving understanding of such things as are revealed in the Word, and that there are some circumstances concerning the worship of God and government of the Church, common to human actions and societies, which are to be ordered by the light of nature and Christian prudence, according to the general rules of the Word, which are always to be observed. Well, chapter 1, section 6 states the doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture. If you would like to know what is necessary for salvation, for faith, and for the Christian life, you'll find it in Scripture. If you want to know what God considers essential for His own glory, you will find it in Scripture. In fact, the whole counsel or plan of God concerning all things necessary are revealed to us in the Bible. These teachings are often expressly and clearly set down in Scripture. Really, what could be plainer than God's teaching that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? What could be clearer than the assertion of Scripture that there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus? What can give more comfort than the sure and clear promise that neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord? What can be more expressly set down in Scripture than that Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he says, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said to you? Scripture surely sets down what we need to know, and it does so with great clarity. But sometimes we do need to work out or deduce Christian doctrines from Scripture. We need to thoughtfully and carefully meditate on Scripture and compare different passages. And when we do this, we find some truths which inevitably flow from Scripture. We work out from the Scriptures, for example, that women are to come to the Lord's Supper, even though the Bible doesn't explicitly say so. We work out from Scripture that we are to baptize the children of believers, even though there's not a text which says so. God often reveals His will to us in principles, and we must not modify or ignore them or go beyond them. In other words, the Christian church is to heed what is expressly set down in Scripture, and it's to equally heed what is to be deduced by good and necessary consequence. But there and then, the church is to stop. You see, the Scriptures are sufficient to teach us the whole counsel of God for all things that we need to know. And at no time are we to add to it. If someone suggests that they have a new revelation of the Spirit, we are to ignore it. If someone says that there are traditions about God's glory or about salvation or faith or the Christian life, and that we need to follow those traditions, we are not to listen to them. And here the authors of the Confession are really just referring to Paul's teaching to the Galatian church, where he tells them to ignore even an angel from heaven if he comes with any other gospel. The teaching of Christ and of His apostles is sufficient for us. It's in the Bible. Their explanation of Christianity is definitive. There's no more need for further good news. We have all the good news that we need, and it could not get any better. There's no more need for further doctrine. All that we need to know for the Christian faith is found in the Bible in such richness that we could mine the Scriptures for our whole lives and not even begin to exhaust its treasures. There is no more need for further teaching on the Christian life than what we have in the Bible. From here to heaven, all that we need is found in these 66 books. There are only two important things we need to add to that by way of qualification and explanation. First, we do not need new revelation of the Spirit, but that does not mean that we do not need the Holy Spirit. Far from it. It also doesn't mean that He's finished His work. On the contrary, we quite readily acknowledge that the inward illumination of the Spirit of God is absolutely necessary for the saving understanding of such things as are revealed in the world and in the Word. No new truths are conveyed by the Spirit today, but we need the Spirit to open our minds to see the old story and those wonderful truths that have always been in the Bible, even though some of them have perhaps not even been noticed by the church to this day. Stated differently, the Bible is sufficient for all of our needs, but our needs are very great. For in sad fact, our sin and our foolishness has left us blind and deaf to the reading and the hearing of God's Word. As Paul explained to the Corinthians, our eyes do not see, and our ears do not hear the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. And for that reason, it's also true that the salvation which God has prepared does not enter into the heart of man. If we're going to hear the gospel savingly, we need God's Spirit to shine into the darkness of our hearts. And how grateful we are that He does just that. How grateful we are that God in His astounding mercy does this. He reveals His truth unto us by His Spirit. For as Paul says, the Spirit searches all things. Certainly, all things regarding our salvation, our faith and our life, even the deep things of God. Well, the second thing we need to remember as we close is that the perfect sufficiency of the Scripture extends to all of life. It really does. To all of life, including Christ's, including the worship of the church and the church's government. Nonetheless, there are some circumstances concerning the worship of God and the government of the church which are not determined by the Word in all their details. And that needs to be stated clearly. There's nothing regarding salvation, Christian doctrine, or the Christian life which is not determined by the Word of God. And even the government of the church and Christian worship are in great measure directed by God. Scripture is sufficient for worship and government too. But in worship and government, God does require us to use the light of nature and Christian prudence. The very light of nature tells us that when we come to worship God, He will not be amused if we dress as poorly as we can. And Christian prudence tells us to find a place of worship, for example, where we can stay dry in the rain or warm in the cold. We need to do all things decently and in order, and we need to be sensible. Some things are simply common to human actions and societies. God tells us we need to worship Him. But He doesn't tell us if we're to have one service of 4 hours or four services of 1 hour. That's left up to Christian prudence. We simply need to agree on these matters of circumstance. And God shows us that we ought to have more than one elder in the church. He says that in His Word. He shows us that by example. But we're not told if we need 3 or 5 or 12. That depends on His provision and also on our wisdom. One thing which remains untouchable in all of this are the general rules of the Word of God, which are always to be observed. Let us give thanks for the gift of those general rules, and let us pray for the wisdom to follow them rightly, and in doing so, we'll find great reward. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask that You will help us by the power of Your Spirit to listen to Your Word, to believe all that it says, and then to obey it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.